Reading is James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27, and it is on page 1213 in the Church Bible, and it's entitled Listening and Doing. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, John. Don't worry, it's a short sermon. but you know, I realised that it was going to be a shared service, so just got a short message here. But you know what, I started off thinking, oh, it's just going to be a few things here and there, you know, just keep it simple. But there's so much in this actually, maybe there's some things we can do another time. True religion in action. Going to leave that on for a while. A school for girls was faced with a unique problem. A number of older girls were beginning to use lipstick. Anybody know that here? Okay. And would put it on in the toilets. I won't ask if you know that at school. That was fine though. There was no real problem with that. It was a Christian school, but it was fine. But then after they would put on their makeup, they would press their lips to the mirrors, leaving dozens of small little pucker marks, you know? I don't know about these things, maybe you do. It's a mystery to me. I don't know why I would often find little bits of paper with them, my mum, you know, and I think, what are these? Is she sending me kisses? I don't know what was going on. But apparently it's something to do with lipstick. Yeah? Okay. So finally the head teacher though decided that something had to be done. Those mirrors were just far too messy. So she called several of the girls to the toilets. And she met them there with the caretaker. She explained that all these lip prints was causing a major problem for the caretaker, who had to clean them every day at the end of the day. To demonstrate how much work it involved, she actually asked the caretaker to show how he cleaned it off and how long it took him to do it. So he promptly got a brush, a long-handled brush from somewhere, dipped it into the nearest toilet, and then went to clean the mirrors with it. Not surprisingly, there were hardly any problems after that. Personally, it is really one of life's mysteries. If anybody would like to explain to me why ladies do that, I would be interested to hear. And maybe after the service. Now, I may not use lipstick, yeah? And a lot of guys here would maybe agree with that one. Hopefully. But anyway, we're free to choose, aren't we? There you go. But I remember several years ago, a chat show host asked Cliff Richard, not about lipstick, but about mirrors, okay? And he asked Cliff Richard if he was vain, because he must spend several hours a day in front of a mirror to look the way that he looks. And if you know Cliff Richard, he usually looks impeccable, doesn't he? Except I think in that bit in Summer Holiday where he looked a bit hot and sweaty. But normally he usually looks really, really well-dressed and his hair's always... Is the posh word coiffured? Yeah, kind of coiffured nicely or something like that. Anyway, I loved the answer. This was before I was a Christian as well. I was just beginning to look into what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I knew that he was then, because I had this little booklet from him, there was part of his comments were actually in this booklet. So I knew that he was a Christian, and I loved his answer. He said, well, I do tend to use the mirror a lot, There's honesty for you, okay? But he said it's more to see if I've got anything wrong with my appearance rather than admiring myself. And I thought, you know what, yeah, okay, he's being honest there. Yeah, I actually like that. And it kind of made sense as well. And I think that's probably true for many of us. Many of us do look in the mirror in the morning. I know if you're anything like me, it can be quite frightening. And it's quite a necessary thing to do. You know, get that water on quickly, you know, hair sticking up here, there and everywhere. So he merely said, of course, that he didn't like to look scruffy or have anything wrong with his appearance. And yeah, we can appreciate that. Whichever way you look at it, when we look into a mirror, we are looking at ourselves there, aren't we? Yeah? Sometimes it's just a look at a spot or maybe an awkward bit of hair as you rush out somewhere, perhaps to work, school, or who knows, could be anywhere, couldn't it? But you're looking for something to see how you are, how you look, yeah? Now, however, have you ever looked intently into a mirror and contemplated something a bit deeper? Yeah? Often we're rushing about in the morning, aren't we? But perhaps you've been disappointed with something that you did moments earlier in the day or the week. You know, it just comes to your remembrance. And you know the kind of thing. You're looking at the mirror and you may end up even talking to yourself, how could I have been so stupid? You know? Or why do I keep on doing that? Or Lord, help me, even praying as you're looking into a mirror, looking at that reflection that is intricately connected to the thing that you're thinking about, talking about, or praying about. You know, maybe it's something sad, maybe it's something really, really deep. You know, maybe it's a reflection of things that were years earlier that are now changed, and you're a bit sad, and there you are looking into the eyes of your own soul. Hard to describe those thoughts at times. But you know, oftentimes those thoughts are as forgotten as quickly as you got them. You know, you go out of the toilet, you go out of the bathroom, you stop looking at the mirror, and life in its hubbub and its busyness soon makes us forget. Yeah? Sometimes things that are quite good to remember as well. The beginning of our passage in James uses the idea of looking in a mirror to consider how we respond to the word of God. Reading from verse 22, it reads, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." What this passage is telling us here is that it's easy to forget about anything we see or think after we've looked in a mirror. It is also the case that when we read the Bible, it is easy to forget to put these good ideas into practice or even remember them. It's a similar kind of thing. Sometimes it's a human thing. You look at the mirror, you forget your image perhaps. But what it's really saying here in the passage is you read the Bible, you know the gospel story, you're praying to Jesus, you want to follow him, and then so quickly, moments later, days later, hours later, whichever, you forget. And you don't do the things that you know you should do. You know, we do not have to look far to find a solution to this in our passage, though, thankfully. Reading from verse 25. "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law," that's the Bible, yeah, "that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." The key words in these verses are the word doer, doing, and do in verses 22 and 25. To understand this better, I've got this old interlinear Greek Bible, and I actually got it out. I had to get the dust off it. And I had a little look about what this word doer means in the original Greek. It's pronounced poetes, I believe. You can never be certain of the exact pronunciation because people weren't around, or people aren't around now, 2,000 years later. And I did a little bit of a study, and guess what it means? It means somebody who does something. There you go. Yes, it's that simple. You can thank me later for that theological gem, okay? You see, when Christianity is lived out as it should be, things happen both inside a believer, and the effects are also seen on the outside. It's both, okay? It really is important that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this: everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, that word does again, does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. It may not always be easy, but it really is that simple. Jesus said, quoting from Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Paraphrasing that. Now, these passages are not just about doing, though. They're not just about doing. Verse 26 talks about what we should not do, and it gets a bit heavy, actually, particularly about the things we say. Now, do you know what? There is actually scope here for a message on its own, and I think each church, maybe once a year, could really do with a message about this kind of thing. But hey, we haven't got time today. It does not go into detail here, but basically James is mentioning something that can be called evil speak. Okay? I don't think it's a word that's particularly in the Bible as such, but it is most certainly something that is talked about in the Bible. This is where, as well as other things, we will say things that pull down or harm others. Yeah? This is serious stuff. Jesus tells us that whoever says you fool is in danger of hell. Words are powerful, you know? We can use words in two ways, can't we? Two main ways. Lifting up, pulling down. By are they powerful, you know? Not my words, but Jesus's. We should always aim to say things that ultimately build others up. Sometimes we have to give some hard truths, okay? But ultimately, our aim, our intention, yeah? And God looks at our intention, the motivation behind our lives, should be good, you know? We should always aim for good. In attitude, we need to keep humble and consider others always. It's not always easy, that. But, you know, God calls us for that. God calls us to do that and have that kind of attitude. That is a godly Christian attitude. And when churches have that, they are good churches. And people grow. And Jesus is glorified in ourselves and in our lives as well. There's a blessing to be had in these things as well. Verse 26, though, deals with something that in truth really does deserve, like I said, a whole sermon. But today is not that day. However, it is good to reflect on these things. After showing us how not to be, verse 27 gets back to doing it again. Now we focus on just what kind of religion God really wants us to follow. We should always be interested in that. Always. Yeah? Whether we've been a Christian for 1 year, and I know I've said it before, 99 years, but it's true, isn't it? We should always be interested to remind ourselves in what is it that God wants us to do? What is it God wants us to be like? He wants to bless our lives. He wants to lead us in the way of righteousness. But we need to know what to do, and we need to remind ourselves as well. It says this in verse 27, "Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world." I once read about a certain Chinese church where the converts were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, like we baptize here. After all, we're a Baptist church. And when they came up out of the water, they were told, "Now, Jesus has new eyes. And Jesus has new hands. And Jesus has new feet. When we become Christians, in some ways, we are becoming the eyes, hands, and feet of Jesus. Not physically, but by God's Spirit, God is able to use us. Yeah? We become extensions of Christ in this world. That's an amazing thing that God calls us to. We now represent Jesus. When people see us, they should be able to see Jesus in us. Franciscan spirituality, which is a good spirituality, very connected with the world around, has that as a major emphasis. Seeing Jesus in every human being. There is something of God, something of Christ, even in corrupted people. All of us are not perfect, but there is something, a glint, a spark of Christ in the created world around us. Might be imperfect, but it's there. One day it will be redeemed. Be sure of that fully. But in our lives, we can thank God for how he redeems our life moment by moment, and we don't have to wait until the end of time. Now, as a student, this is finishing off now, I lived with some non-Christians, and they shared a house, or digs as it's called, yeah? And we were all there together. It was early days, I think in the first week or two. And we were kind of getting to know each other. And they said, hey, Dean, do you fancy going down to my friend's house and we're going to watch a film and maybe get a few beers in or something? And I was thinking, I'm not sure whether I should. You know, I was a new Christian then. And, you know, I used to drink quite a bit before I was a Christian. And I was holding back on that kind of thing then. I mean, I still drank a little bit. But I said, okay, then, I will go along. You know, I wasn't sure what film it was, really. But I went along actually anyway. And I found out that we're going to be watching a film called The Blues Brothers. Anybody seen that film? Yeah, if anybody hasn't, it's a great film actually, as you're going to find out. Now, I wasn't sure. Then I went in and the film was on. I thought it was going to be some horror film or something really, you know, a bit awkward. But anyway, it was fine. The film is about two brothers, one of them getting out of prison. And they go and visit a Christian orphanage that they actually grew up in. And they find out the orphanage is under threat of closure. And so they decide to raise some money by reforming their old band and giving a blues concert. And the whole film is about how they manage to do that. And they have various incidents along the way where things are blowing up and there's forces trying to stop them from doing it as well because they want to claim the orphanage space. So it's quite an entertaining film. Fantastic music by the way. You've got Aretha Franklin in it. And James Brown as well. And it's a good story and some great music too. So if you haven't seen it already, definitely recommend it. One of the key phrases of the film is that they are on a... Anybody know it? They are on a mission for God. Yeah, they say it quite a few times. I was quite surprised. I was sitting with my friends from uni, and I was thinking, hey, this is really Christian, great, you know. And it's actually a cool film as well. It's not too religious, you know. It kind of deals with life in a real way. Really good. Anyway, there you go. So they end up saving the orphanage, and as well as that, they actually reboot their musical careers. Now, we're getting to the end now. But, you know, that reminds me of what it says back in verse 25. Paraphrasing here a little bit. That those who do the things that God wants will be blessed in whatever they do as well. You know, God calls us to follow him. It's not always easy. But, you know, it's not like he's some father who wants us to live in darkness and have it all difficult. Yeah? God wants us to live a right kind of life and to do the right kind of things. It's not always easy, but as we do that, he will bless us as well. Yeah? Whether that's inside ourselves, we might all not reform a favourite band of our youth, but, you know, God will bless us as we follow him, as we obey him in these kinds of things. We've heard about the work of BMS today, you know? Fantastic opportunity to join in with God's mission, a mission for God. There are plenty of other opportunities as well, throughout the week, with our neighbours and at work. Let's not lose sight of these things. These things are really opportunities. Opportunities to join with God in his mission, to be blessed, and bless others as we do that. No, the other way around. To bless others and be blessed as we do that. I don't think it matters, does it? But what really matters is that we follow God. We have the heart of God. We desire and seek that, and seek to see that outlived in our lives. So let's sum up. He calls us this morning to follow his written word. That's a definite truth, isn't it? Hey, the Bible is so good at giving us direction. He calls us to live authentic lives that mirror the gospel we proclaim. We say that we believe in Jesus. We say we are followers of him. Our lives need to reflect that. That is a bit hard-hitting. But you know what? As we do that, he will bless us. It's not earnersome or onerous. It's a good thing. He calls us to blessing as we join with him in God's mission to the world. So there you go. Thank you for bearing with a later than normal service, but thank you for being with us together. I don't know about you, but I'm always blessed when I come to church, when we worship together, when we do things together, particularly when it's communion as well. And, you know, let's just have a moment's prayer. Let's then thank him for the work that he's doing in our lives. And let us pray, maybe quietly or maybe now, that God will do a deeper work in us as well in the days ahead. Father, we thank you for your love and your care for us. We thank you for this message, primarily your word, Lord, your written word to us, which shows us the way to go. Your word is a light unto our path, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we know that as we follow you, there will be blessings. It may not always be easy, but there will be blessings, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we can bless others as well as we join in together with you in your mission to the world. Help us, Lord. It's not always easy. Help us, Father, to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your mouth that will speak the right words into situations around us, moment by moment, day by day, week by week. We ask you to help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.